WFXX. Once again,
your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7, the
It is time for a wonderfully wild Wednesday edition of Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It is Thanksgiving Day Eve.
Ooh.
Here in the Valley of Happiness. Open phone time here at 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266 gets you into the big show this morning. And, lots of ground to cover. Zane Rutherford will join us at about 8:45 this morning, and we will be talking about the Claw event coming up this weekend. He will be among those participating down in Pittsburgh for the inaugural Claw Championship. And again, lots of directions we can go here on a Wednesday morning. No show tomorrow.
Oh.
We will be back for Black Friday.
Oh.
All Fridays matter. We will have that show for you from 8 to 10 on Friday morning.
You had to inject that in there. What?
I believe that all Fridays
okay.
matter. That's
yeah,
just me.
Very nice. So, yeah, we have lots of open line time. Looking forward to chatting with Zane here later this hour. All right, you wrestling fans, all right, don't go anywhere. It's gonna be pretty cool. Earlier, before sunrise, it was really foggy in a lot of places in the neighborhood. Most of that fog is pretty much lifted. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. It's the least I could do for you.
I've seen one forecast that claims that this afternoon it could maybe actually get up to 60 degrees.
Hey now.
All right.
I want to believe that one.
Now, don't get too comfy, because starting tomorrow, that's going to feel like a heat wave. We got cold weather coming our way, just not today. So if you have some, I don't know, you go jogging or take the dog for a walk or whatever, today's your day. Tomorrow and into the weekend, not so much. I think I mentioned this yesterday. I want to see maybe this weekend or maybe early next week if our friends from Tussie Mountain Ski Area might fire up the snow guns, because it's going to be cold enough for it. I want to see if they want to, kind of get a jump on the winter season. Now, if we were in the Midwest, we wouldn't have to worry about that, because they've got a big snowstorm hitting them. The Dakotas, Minnesota to Wisconsin to Michigan, I mean, we're talking big-time snow. They're going to be singing, "I'm Dreaming of a White Thanksgiving," because they're going to have one. Today, of course, is the biggest travel day of the year. Most people will be driving. So if that's you, please be careful on the roads. I mean, we're talking tens of millions are going to be driving today. If you are flying, all right, most of those, remember a week or two ago, all the flight disruptions, all that craziness, most of that is by the boards, but not all of it. And then when you factor in weather, like, for instance, I think there are two flights every day from State College to O'Hare in Chicago. If you're on one of those flights today, good luck, because Chicago's supposed to get nailed with some of this snowstorm. So check with your airline frequently just to see what's going on with your flight. All right. Ooh, big storm hitting that neighborhood. Speaking of planes, Sean Duffy is the Secretary of Transportation. And apparently he made a pronouncement, I don't know, earlier this week. You know, if you're going to take a flight, don't wear pajamas. First off, I've never done this, all right? I usually, you know, I'm wearing jeans or nice clothes or whatever. Apparently some of you like to take flights in your pajamas, folks. Seriously, come on. put on some real clothes. All right, not pajamas.
This is one I am going to disagree with you and Mr. Duffy. Why do you care what somebody is wearing if it is making them comfortable on a long flight? You can wear jeans. Nobody is telling you you can't. What does it matter? Now, the politeness and, yes, being a little more courteous and all of those things, understanding. I'm with Sean Duffy on all of that. I just, what do you care if it's a long flight and you're wanting to be comfortable? Man, I'd go for it. I don't understand why you or Mr. Duffy give a rat's behind what's if somebody is wearing something. Oh no, you look way too comfortable. We can't have you that kind of comfort on this flight. Wait, what do you care?
Okay, I'm not.
How is it impacting you? Even an iota.
I'm not fighting this one. I'm not fighting this one. Gonna let this one alone.
All right. I'll take my victory.
Because it's absurd. Me, pajamas are for like. Sleeping, like for the bedroom.
Yeah, cool. For you, that's awesome. Go do that.
Not on an airplane.
You don't need to. Nobody's telling you you need to.
No, I realize that.
Yeah.
All right. Like I said, I'm not fighting this one, folks.
Good. Carry on.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
All right. Now, there is a football game on Saturday. It's not here. If you remember, we kind of joked for a while, the temporary stands at Beaver Stadium, and we're like, okay, how temporary are they? Oh my gosh. Well, they're temporary, because if you haven't been by the stadium or haven't seen some pictures, those stands are coming down this week. They're bringing them down.
Oh my gosh. Well, what if Penn State hosts a playoff game in a cut? Oh, wait a second. Never mind.
Let's move on. So yeah, the temp stands are coming down and then they're going to do whatever they're going to do, more work. All right. And then I guess what? At some point next summer, whatever, they'll go back up. Because again, the stadium, the whole schmear is not supposed to be done till 2027. Not next year, 27. So, all right, more fun at Beaver Stadium. All right, how about some good news?
I love good news.
Good news, okay. Now, maybe you've done it already.
I win the lottery?
Well, the big night is tonight, so I don't know if you won the lottery.
Huh.
All right, they've got a big...
Unlikely, with me not having played and stuff.
Well, that's a bit of a problem.
Yeah, seems unlikely.
The Powerball jackpot, I think, is, $650 million, which is big. Might be bigger than that. I'm not sure. So maybe you've done your shopping for Thanksgiving today, or maybe you're doing it today. All right. In fact, I would assume a lot of people are probably doing it today. A couple days ago, I'm at a grocery store. I'm just picking up a few things. And I thought, boy, I could use some eggs. And I thought, oh, okay. So I'm not going to name the store. But, if it's milk and eggs, what do they make you do? You have to march all the way to the back of the store.
Was it Wise? Was it Trader Joe's? Was it Giant? Was it Wegmans?
I'm not saying
Costco?
A word.
Was it Walmart?
But I go to the egg aisle. I'm thinking, okay.
Yeah.
And just there it was. I mean, there it was. A dozen, like, large regular eggs, under $2 a dozen. I'm thinking, yes, finally, we're getting back to normalcy. I'm thinking, okay. And I checked out one other store that I thought their eggs were expensive. I did this online. I'm like, okay, what are these folks charging? Well, they were charging more than the first store, but at least they were still in the mid $2 range. I'm thinking, yes, here's something where you can't argue. The price is coming down. Eggs. Yay! I don't know, you have deviled eggs or something for Thanksgiving. Maybe you do something like that. All right. Now, Thanksgiving, of course, is the quintessential American holiday. No, it's the penultimate American holiday.
That is correct, sir.
There we go. I saw something yesterday that just made me angry. Angry. Now, it doesn't have anything to do with Thanksgiving, per se. But I caught this story. In this case, this was on Fox News, where they did a short feature story.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Is America a melting pot? That's the one I'm talking about.
I thought it was the story where the Ravens are now tied with the Steelers. It's not the AFC North.
Why would Fox News have a story about
them? Angry.
Holy moly. And after tomorrow night when Cincinnati upsets them, then
there you go.
That'll be a much better situation.
The Steelers
anyway,
romp over the Bills.
Yeah. Fox News. Now, I'm going to make somebody angry here. All right? And not intentionally. Just that's the way some things are, I guess. They had a story about, is America a melting pot? And that was, you know, we've been had that thought for decades and decades and decades. Immigrants come to America and they assimilate into American culture, and the old line was, that's a melting pot. Well, in recent years, some people have tried a different tack. I've heard mosaic used. America is a mosaic. Well, they did this story yesterday. And they had a blurb, I guess, from an interview featuring the mayor of Dearborn, Michigan. Now, Dearborn is, I wouldn't call it famous, but for whatever reason, the majority of residents of Dearborn, Michigan are of Arab background. I don't know why, just is. Their mayor is Arab, all right, Arab background. Now, I'm not going to get into religion, Muslim, none of that, okay? But he did an interview the other day where the interviewer, they're talking about this, and the mayor of Dearborn, Michigan, refers to America should be a salad bowl. Oh, like you got tomatoes over here, and you got carrots over here, and you got lettuce over here, and you got cauliflower over here, and where, I'm, what?
Where are the croutons?
Well, croutons are over here.
I gotta have my croutons.
Well, croutons are over here. And I'm listening to this guy, and I'm at home, and out loud to my television, I'm just saying, no, 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 no. We are not a salad bowl.
We need burgers.
All right. well, that's...
Okay. I'm with you.
I don't got
burgers and dogs.
All right. I don't got a problem with that.
Okay.
We are not a salad bowl. We need to be a melting pot. I think the guy in this interview clip, he refers to the melting pot idea as like, oh, we're like soup. And I'm thinking, okay, there's nothing wrong with soup because everything in the soup is the same. They kind of work together. The salad bowl, yeah, I could put, no offense, I could put the croutons over here, and I could put the, you know, I don't particularly care for cauliflower. I would put the cauliflower over here.
How dare you in your anti-cauliflower
All right?
ways.
In other words, it's very easy to separate when it's a salad bowl. When it's a melting pot, if it's a bowl of soup, there's a similarity in the bowl of soup. The salad bowl, oh, man, that made me angry when I heard this guy refer to, oh, America should be a salad bowl. No, America should be a melting pot. If we're going to proceed into the future and with equality and all those fancy terms, a salad bowl is not going to cut it. We need to go back to the old idea of being a melting pot. Now, the story mentioned that, I guess, you know, people do studies on this, you know, when immigrants come to our country, I guess either legally or illegally, are they assimilating into American culture? Now, that's what used to happen. These days, of course, we all wonder, or not all of us, some of us wonder, don't we? Are we actually really assimilating? Now, according to the study that was cited in this story, the majority of immigrants today are still assimilating, which is good. All right, I'll ring the bell for that one. That means they come here and they want to be Americans. All right, now, not everybody, but according to the study, the number of people or the percentage of immigrants who come now want to assimilate, that's still the majority of immigrants. And according to the story, it's roughly the same as it's always been. Okay, I'd like to believe that. I hope that that study is accurate. But then we have, like, this mayor of Dearborn, oh, salad bowl. Like, okay, which one are you, buddy? Are you the tomato? Are you the cauliflower? Are you the crouton? Arab crouton? Nothing against Arabs. Don't misunderstand. But this idea that, well, you need to be separate. All right, Scott here. My ancestors, I don't know, 140 years ago, came from either southern Germany or Switzerland. And they spoke German. Now, I guess if we're a salad bowl, I should still be speaking German today. All right, yeah, I'll speak English too, but I guess I should still be speaking German. No, my family gave up German a while back because we assimilated into American culture. Now, maybe later on we have some open time. You want to chime in either yay or nay on that? Either salad bowl or melting pot. I'm sorry, melting pot. Melting pot. Urgh. Now, tomorrow, when you get together for your Thanksgiving meal, if you pay attention to media, there are so many stories. How should you act around the Thanksgiving table? What should you talk about? What shouldn't you talk about? The New York Times had a, do I have it here? The New York Times had a story the other day. Actually, it wasn't really a story. It's called 61 Hot Takes to Fight About at Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, baby. Let's do it.
Some people are just fixated on this. That people, you know, and this has only happened since Donald Trump showed up. You notice that? This has only happened since then. This didn't happen beforehand. Like, really? Like, what Thanksgiving table have you been to? All right. What should you talk about and not talk about around the Thanksgiving table? Now, maybe later on, again, when we have some open time, you want to chime in on this. There's a bunch of stories out there with advice. Experts weigh in. I love that. Experts weigh in. Sounds like they're wrestlers. They're weighing in. Okay, whatever. What should you not do around the Thanksgiving table tomorrow? Now, I don't know, Mr. Ironhead. I don't know what you're doing tomorrow. Are there certain no-goes around the Thanksgiving
table
tomorrow?
Well, we've learned our lesson over the years because we darn near came to blows a few years ago in our family.
Oh, no.
Even though it is obvious that Die Hard is, in fact, a Christmas movie, Aunt Julie just is absolutely insistent that is absurd and that it is not a Christmas movie. And so, yes, we will not discuss the Die Hard Christmas movie hot debate at Thanksgiving this year. Everything else is on the table.
Everything else.
But, I mean,
else.
Come on. We can't get into that.
Okay. Everything else, all right? Folks, don't. Come on. When you get around the table, assuming you're doing this with your family tomorrow, just enjoy the meal. I don't know, you know, joke. Talk about a recent vacation you took or something like. Don't even think about politics. Just don't. All right? Just don't. Ugh. Anyway, this pile of mountain of stories, I think in many cases is much ado about nothing. These are people looking for something to write about. Let's argue about the table. No.
Along those lines, I am hoping that this is a story about nothing. And at this point, I think that it is. But I am among those concerned. Many in the scouting world are aware of this story. But NPR... earlier this week, aired a story about what it says was a leaked Pentagon memo that it received. Now, it was a draft memo, according to NPR, and so has not yet been sent to Congress. But the NPR story says that the Secretary of War is planning to cease support for youth and scouting programs on military bases in the United States and overseas, as well as cutting support for the National Jamboree and eliminating increases in pay grade for Eagle Scouts who enlist in the military. Now, Scouting America has posted a response to the story, and again, presuming that the NPR story is accurate, that this is a draft and is at least under consideration, don't consider it, would be my plea. Scouting America responds, Quote, "We are surprised and deeply saddened by this news. The scouting movement has had a strong relationship with our nation's military going back more than a century, from the tremendous support of the West Virginia National Guard at our national jamborees to scout troops that provide stability for the children of military families deployed around the globe. Our nation's military has walked side by side with scouts for generations. An enormous percentage of those in our military academies are scouts and Eagle Scouts. Our scouts and leaders admire and are inspired by our military heroes. Many of our scouts trade their scouting uniforms for the uniforms of our nation's armed forces." According to the story, the draft memo purports that the scouting organization is no longer a meritocracy and does not hold members to high standards. This view is clearly uninformed. Badges and ranks are not given. They are earned. Just ask any Eagle Scout. Young men and young women alike thrive in scouting. Scouts wear an American flag on their sleeves and swear a duty to God and country. Scouting isn't something we do. It's something we are," unquote. And it goes on. There's some other, I think, very good points made in the response by Scouting America. I don't know where this one is coming from. I don't know why anybody would think that this is even something that should be considered. That relationship is, has been, and I think is, and should remain strong between scouting and the military. And I'm just telling you, our kiddo is not in Scouting America yet. He's in the Cub Scouts, but will transition here in February. And then in March will be going into Scouting America. And I'm just telling you, the lessons learned there, and yes, I think the harmonious values between Scouting America and just scouts in general and the military, as well as, you know, for that matter, just good Americans, I don't understand. I'm genuinely confused, and I need to look more into where this is coming from, because I can assure you that it is, in fact, a meritocracy. Like, you got to go out and earn your badges. And I think it's one of the many great lessons in scouts is, hey, you set yourself a goal, you go about the objectives that you need to meet that goal, you achieve it, you get rewarded. You don't, you fall short, you don't get rewarded. What a wonderful life lesson. This one, and our kiddo sells a lot of popcorn each year. And with that, we have many that one of the options, you can buy the popcorn for yourself, and that's certainly wonderful, and we appreciate it. But we have a handful of individuals each year that it's like, I'll give you the money, but just send mine to military troops. And there is that option on the scouting sheet. This is just, and the jamboree is, we've never been yet. One of the things that we're hoping, at least our kiddo gets the opportunity to do, and I think he will. But again, it is a wonderful opportunity to, again, learn kind of self, part of it is self-awareness. Right. All right. This is I'm part of something bigger, but also, man, you got to be self-sufficient. Like, that is critical, obviously, in the military, critical in scouting, pretty doggone important just in society. Man, if everybody was self-sufficient, right, we'd be in much better shape overall as a country, as a society. Well, that's what they're teaching. And it's not just self-sufficient. It's, hey, be self-sufficient and go help others. Figure out ways that you can, be a bigger part of your community and help your community, help make it a better place, whether it's, through the service projects, through just learning, again, how to do various things that can help others if they get into a bind. I This one is beyond perplexing to me, and I hope there's no truth to it. Again, at this point, it is an NPR story about a supposed leaked Pentagon memo. Hasn't gone anywhere yet, and hopefully it doesn't, and this is, in fact, a non-story. But, man, crazy if it is actually a story that becomes a story.
Before we take a break, I have your answer for you.
Okay.
All right, two things. One is a line we use on the show, unfortunately, too often, and that is it possible to go too far with something? Yes. All right. I saw the same story, although it wasn't NPR. There's some other outlets kind of covering this one, too.
Well, yeah, NPR had the initial report.
Is it possible to go too far with something? Yes. Where's this coming from? I think I know. All right. Now, in the old days, you had the Boy Scouts and you had the Girl Scouts, right? In recent years, girls are now in the Boy Scouts, and then they changed their name to Scouting America, which is now Boys and Girls. I'm going to guess you've got some folks in certain positions of power. They want to go back to the old days of the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, which is nuts. All right. Girls can do, you know, all those different things that the Boy Scouts do.
And there is still the Girl Scouts. There is still a separate organization. But it isn't. They haven't lowered the standards is the thing. That's what I'm just. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, again, if you just look at this as another DEI issue, oh, we put girls in the Boy Scouts, with the insinuation that standards have been lowered, but you're saying that's not, that no. Your experience is that's not the case. All right, well, is it possible to go too far with something? Yes. All right, we got to go too far and play some commercials right here, right? So we have a sports break coming up. We're going to talk with Zane Rutherford, really cool, one of the great Penn State wrestlers. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, oh boy, maybe it could be the scouting thing or some other subjects. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel. But a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk on a Wednesday morning, this day before Thanksgiving. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is open and available for your use. And we will take your calls in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll have Zane Rutherford coming up here in our third segment this morning around 8:45. And right now we take a check of sports. Penn State football team getting ready to close out the regular season at Rutgers on Saturday. Kickoff in Piscataway is set for 3:30. The game will be televised on the Big Ten Network. Both teams are 5-6 in the season, 2-6 in Big Ten contests. The Nittany Lions are at least a 10.5-point favorite, depending on your book. Anywhere from 10.5 to 13.5. It's a pretty wide spread there in terms of the anticipated margin of victory for the Nittany Lions. In Saturday's game, Penn State, again, can become bowl eligible with a win. Meanwhile, Penn State special teams coordinator Justin Lustig has been named as a nominee for the Broyles Award. That is given annually to the best assistant coach in college football. Lustig's special teams unit has been making plays all season long. Kicker Ryan Barker is connected on nearly 93% of his field goal attempts. Denied Dennis Sutton has 3 blocked punts, among the highlights for the special teams units this season. It is the second time that Lustig has been nominated, as he was also a candidate when he was at Syracuse in 2018. The fourth college football playoff rankings were released last night. The top 5 remain the same, with Ohio State atop the poll, followed by Indiana, Texas A&M, Georgia, and Texas Tech, respectively. If the playoffs started this week, and they don't, it would be Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, and Georgia with the first round byes. It would be Texas Tech hosting Tulane, Miami playing at Oregon, Alabama would take on Ole Miss, and Notre Dame would go up against Oklahoma in the first round matchups. Now, those won't actually be the first round matchups because there's going to be some shakeups over the next couple of weeks. BYU and Utah, though, as things stand right now, would be the first two teams out of the playoffs. The Nittany Lion basketball team defeating Boston University last night at the Jordan Center 96-87. Yep, it was an offensive showcase. Josh Reed had a big game for Penn State. He led the team in points with 17 and in rebounds with 8. Caden Mingo scored 14 points and added 4 rebounds and a team-high 4 assists. Melly Tonga had 16 points, and it was Ivan Juric adding 15 for the Nittany Lions. Very balanced attack last night. The Nittany Lions improving to 6-1 on the season. Penn State will be back in action on Saturday hosting Sacred Heart in a 6 o'clock tip at the Bryce Jordan Center. Penn State wrestling team sits atop the Intermat rankings once again this week. The Nittany Lions have 10 wrestlers ranked, including 4 top-ranked individuals in Shane Van Ness at 149, Mitchell Messenbrink at 165, Levi Haynes at 174, and Josh Barr at 197. Luke Lilledahl slips one spot and is now second at 125. Defending champion Vincent Robinson is number one now at 125. Rocco Welsh stays number four at 184. Aaron Nagao and Cole Mirasola are 10th at 141 and heavyweight respectively. And then the two true freshmen, Marcus Blaze checking in at number 12 at 133, and PJ Duke debuts at number 16 at 157. I do believe both of those wrestlers are going to continue to rise in the rankings. The Nittany Lions are 1-0 and will return to action with a duel at Drexel a week from Friday in Philadelphia. Penn State men's hockey team will open up next season, the 26-27 campaign, with a couple of games in Connecticut for the Icebreaker Tournament. The Nittany Lions will play at UConn on October 9th and at Sacred Heart on October 10th. The Icebreaker Tournament has been an annual event since 1997 and typically brings 4 teams from different conferences together to celebrate the start of the college hockey season. This will be Penn State's first appearance in the tournament, which also will feature Bowling Green. This year's Nittany Lions are now ranked 9th in the coaches' poll with an 11-5 record, 4-4 in the Big Ten. Michigan is the new number one, with Wisconsin now second, and Michigan State falling from number one to third. Denver is fourth. Minnesota Duluth is fifth. Boy, they're dealing with some weather this morning. North Dakota is sixth. Western Michigan, seventh. Quinnipiac is eighth. And rounding out the top 10 behind the 9th-ranked Nittany Lions is Maine. Penn State will return to action after the new year when it plays at RIT on January 3rd before hosting the Tigers on January 4th. The undefeated Penn State women's hockey team has moved up 2 spots and is now ranked higher than it ever has been. Number 4 in the coaches' poll this week. The Nittany Lions are 16-0 and get a load of the top 4 teams. This is the order in the ranking. And keep in mind, there is no hockey, women's hockey in the Big Ten Conference. You need 6 teams to have a be able to form a conference in hockey. And right now the Big Ten has 4 teams, and so they're not officially Big Ten teams. The current rankings, though, in women's hockey, you have Wisconsin number 1. You have Ohio State number 2. You have Minnesota number 3. And you have Penn State undefeated at number 4.
How about that?
Do you think we could get, like, Michigan and Michigan State to... 5th-ranked Cornell rounds out the top 5. Penn State is 16-0 on the season and will play games in Massachusetts against Northeastern Friday and Saturday afternoon. Penn State's Tessa Janicki has been named the Atlantic Hockey America Forward of the Week. And teammate Danica Maynard is the defenseman of the week. Janicki had 5 points in the 2-game sweep at RIT last weekend. Maynard had 3 points, including the game-winning goal in the 2nd game against RIT. The Penn State women's volleyball team dropping 1 spot, but still in the rankings at number 25 in the coaches' poll this week after sweeping both Michigan State and Maryland this past weekend. Penn State will visit top-ranked Nebraska Friday night. That'll be a 6:30 match, and then the Nittany Lions will close out the regular season at Iowa on Saturday night at 7. Penn State is 17-11 on the season, 11-7 in Big Ten matches. Nebraska is followed by Kentucky, Texas, Pitt, and Stanford, respectively. Other ranked Big Ten teams are number 10 Wisconsin, number 11 Purdue, 14 14th ranked USC, number 15 Indiana, and number 18 Minnesota. Again, no show here for Let's Talk Tomorrow. It's Thanksgiving, don't you know? So we'll have Fox Sports Radio all morning long, and then we will have the NFL triple header for you starting at 12:30 with the Packers at the Lions. That'll be followed with the 4:15 matchup, the Chiefs at the Cowboys, and then at 8 o'clock we'll have coverage of the Cincinnati Bengals. Yay, Bengals! At the Baltimore Ravens. Always did love that Joe Burrow fellow. It'll be nice to see Jamar Chase back out there. Hope the very best for him.
Wear a mask. Don't contest. Spit.
Right? Yeah, let's just clean it up there. Today, we still have our normal lineup. So after our show this morning, the Dan Patrick Show from 10 to noon, and then Joe Lanoski and the Pennsylvania Sports Network rolling your way from 10 to noon, or from noon to 2, I should accurately say. Then Chris Buchanani will take over the airwaves from 2 to 3. Undoubtedly, some more Penn State coaching talk. Booch joined us yesterday on the Goon and Ironhead show. Terry Smith, man, I think we really got to take a long, hard look at that. And Jim Galani will probably have more coaching talk on the Keystone Kickoff show. That'll roll your way from 3 to 4, and then we'll rejoin Fox Sports here this afternoon. And again, NFL triple header tomorrow here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Philadelphia Eagles will be hosting the Chicago Bears on Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. We will have live coverage of that game starting at 2:30 on Friday right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. The Steelers have a big game Sunday afternoon. It'll be a late Sunday kickoff at Acrisure Stadium against the Buffalo Bills, 4:25. Nervous about that one.
Yes.
Penguins have lost their last two games and five of their last six. But tonight is when they start the big turnaround. The Penguins will host the Buffalo Sabres in a 7 o'clock faceoff at PPG Paints Arena. I'm hoping. Philadelphia Flyers will play at the Florida Panthers tonight as well. That game also will get underway at 7 o'clock. Nine different players scored in double figures for the Orlando Magic, and they cruised to a 144-103 drubbing of the 76ers last night. Tyrese Maxey did have 20 points to lead Philadelphia, which falls to 9-8 on the season. The Sixers will try to rebound against Brooklyn on the road on Friday night. And have you been following this thing is getting I think a lot of folks now are very concerned that this is going to have a tragic ending, or maybe already has and we just haven't discovered it yet. But Virginia high school football coach disappeared days before his undefeated team was playing in the playoffs. Now authorities have revealed that he is facing charges of possessing child sex abuse material and using a computer to solicit a minor. This according to Virginia State Police. Police say 46-year-old Travis Turner of Appalachia, Virginia, is wanted on warrants that were obtained Monday for five counts on each charge, and that each of those charges are ready to be filed. They have additional charges pending as that investigation is continuing. Details about what prompted the charges have not been released just yet. Turner has been missing since last Thursday when state police special agents from a Bureau of Criminal Investigation office were sent to his home. They were there to talk to him as part of the investigation. The plan was not to arrest him with that talk, but as officers got there, they were notified that he had gone missing, and the search is continuing. They are using drones, dogs, rescue teams, and so far, well, at least as of about 6:30 this morning, they still have not been able to find him. Yeah, I just awful story in every imaginable way. Zane Rutherford will be competing this weekend in what is being called the Super Duel One. This is for the Champions League of American Wrestling, Claw Wrestling, Super Duel One. This will be coming up this weekend on November 29th, this Saturday, in Pittsburgh. It'll be at the UPMC Cooper Fieldhouse at Duquesne. And the Cicadas, which is the team that Zane Rutherford is on, will face the Leopards. And the winner, again, will be the Super Duel One champion for the Claw Wrestling League, and Zane Rutherford again will be wrestling for the Cicadas. That event will get underway. They'll have some things going on before the actual wrestling at 4:30, and some of the there's like a red carpet show that starts at 1:30. There's some things going on in the arena starting at 4 o'clock, but Super Duel One will officially get underway at 4:30. At Duquesne University here on Saturday. And on the other side of this break, we will be talking with Zane Rutherford about Super Duel One and his experience. We'll also probably talk a little Penn State wrestling and Nittany Lion Wrestling Club wrestling as well. As we roll on, it is our Wednesday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7,
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News & World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
Join Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox as we kick off our week of giving on Friday, November 21st at the Bellefonte Giant Grocery Store on the Benner Pike. We will be collecting non-perishable food items and monetary donations that day for the Faith Center. Just another great way to help your neighbor. During November, The Fox will be asking you to stop in and sign up for our annual Remington 700 rifle giveaway from Jordan Firearms during our week of giving with Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Get up and get going.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning, this day before Thanksgiving. Jeff and Scott with you. Again, we will have some open phone time coming up in the 9 o'clock hour and can go, well, just about any direction you want. If you want to share what you're doing for Thanksgiving, we're all ears. Do you have any unique traditions? Love to hear about that stuff. Right now we are joined via the phone line by Zane Rutherford, who is getting ready for the Super Duel One with the Champions League of American Wrestling, Claw Wrestling, and that is this Saturday at Duquesne University. Zane, first of all, thanks for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, I appreciate it as well.
Zane, talk a little bit about your involvement here with Claw. Obviously, Eric Brugel has done a lot of work. I mean, I think has really gone about this in a very smart way in kind of trying to build this thing from the ground up. But just talk a little bit about your involvement and what this inaugural season of Claw has been like for you.
Yeah, my involvement, I've been, haven't competed since the Olympics. So, Eric and his, partner, Tom Houck, had, reached out to me this summer and just were, they were seeing if I wanted to compete again. So, something that I wasn't sure if I wanted to do. And I, their first event was in State College, their first 2 matches. So, when they said they were going to do it in State College, that was kind of a no-brainer for me. So, first couple events were really fun. The rule set's pretty fun to wrestle. It's a little bit of folk style. So, I was looking forward to doing that. And then, yeah, just it's been fun to wrestle, and looking forward to this weekend in Pittsburgh.
Zane, what? Was there any hesitation on your part to get back into competition? For folks that don't know, it was a concussion that that ended the Olympic run. Any hesitation there? Did you get checked out ahead of time? Just talk me through any concerns you had, or was it, you know what, let's just get back into this?
Yes, yeah, so Tom Houck is one of the owners, and I guess one of the people managing Claw. He had reached out to me in June and had just expressed interest in maybe having me on the season and just wanted to see if I'd be interested in competing. I told him tentatively yes. I had started feeling better slowly after the Olympics, but the concussion took a long time to recover from. So I actually got evaluated in early July, went down to a specialist in Florida just to make sure, because I was still having some symptoms, and they had cleared me to compete again. So as soon as I got word, it was, let's go and let's do this. Yep.
Zane, for folks that don't know, you touched on a little bit. It's kind of a combination, and I know the focus is really on creating offensive opportunities and getting points. But talk a little bit about, from a competitor's standpoint, kind of the rules and, you know, maybe what the has there been a toughest adjustment for you, and what do you like about the way this format has played out?
Yeah, so simply put, I think the match length, so it's 4 different periods, but the match total time is 5 minutes. So that shorter length makes it a little bit different of a pace. It's more of a sprint than, you know, even like a college 7-minute match. So that took an adjustment. Definitely felt that in my first two matches. I got more tired than I expected with it being 5 minutes. But then, it's mostly folk style. There is mat wrestling, which I like. One element that they added to it that is kind of cool is there's like football pylons on the mat where if you go and knock one over, if you're in the top or bottom position, you get a point for that. And then you also get a point if you score within the first 10 seconds of a period. So that was something that I had to adjust to. I wrestled one opponent in October that was, he was a good bit taller than me. So he was about 6 foot tall. And so he was making a mad dash for the pylon and was beating me to them every single time. So I was like, oh, no, I gotta change up something I'm doing here. So those parts have been fun to try and figure out.
Zane, how fun has it been for you and your teammates? And I guess, you know, part of this process is probably getting to know some of these guys a little better than you did previously. Just talk to me about the team aspect of this and what that's been like. Obviously, you're, you know, training here, but I'm just curious about what the interactions are like with, in your case, the Cicadas.
Yeah, I never really interacted with many of my teammates. I've met a few of them over the years, but never really had a full conversation with them, and definitely never have been on the same team. So it's been cool, like C.J. Brucky and Tristan Moran in particular. Brucky has like really good energy, and he's having fun out there. There was one time where he scored a point and like spiked one of the pylons, and he was dancing and during the match. So. It's entertaining, and he's good energy. And then Tristan Moran as well. All of my teammates really, but Tristan, he got a pin for us in one of our dual meets. He might have been even trailing at that point and got a pin, got a cradle. So that was pretty cool. And everyone on the team meshes well together, and it's just fun. I enjoy dual meets, and you don't really get that, you know, even at the senior level. Kind of competing for Team USA, but you don't get that dual meet like Penn State wrestling feel. So it's kind of fun to do that again.
Zane, the competitive fires, are you thinking beyond this claw season? Any thoughts to getting back into the freestyle mix, or are you kind of looking at just developing this for a while, or are you not thinking that far ahead at the moment?
Not thinking too far ahead. I mean, claw season one has been great. First event was in State College, and next one is in this weekend coming up is in Pittsburgh. So, pretty local and easy to commit to. And I've been coaching with the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club. So that's been my primary focus. And then my wife and my kids got two young ones. It's been my primary focus. And my wife and I started a business here in State College as well. So that's been, we started that in September. So those kind of just managing all that. And I think I'm excited to get back to coaching, full time. It's been fun helping guys in the Penn State room, Nittany Lion Wrestling Club. We'll see though. If it's easy, if it doesn't take away from any of my responsibilities and I'm able to compete, I'll get back in. As far as down the line, I'm taking it. I'm 30 now, so I'm just seeing how my body feels. If I'm feeling pulled to, maybe I'll get back in, but kind of just taking it day by day, year by year.
Zane, talk a little bit about that room right now with the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club and these Penn State kids, and just how special a place that is. I mean, it really has been since Cale came in, but I'm not sure that this isn't as special of a room, not just talent-wise, but just with the focus and the overall passion, I guess, for the sport and really for life that's in that room right now. Just talk to me about what it's like being in there and what you're seeing on a day-in, day-out basis.
Yeah, it's a very talented group, and I think one thing that's unique is, like, these guys are coming in as, you know, true freshmen, like, hungry and like ready to win a national title, which is pretty neat. And I think not only that, though, they are really fun kids to work with, and they're just great kids and great people, and they work hard, do all the right things. I don't think they'd be at Penn State if that wasn't the case, but you see the talent sometimes, and you don't always see, like, you don't get to know, like, getting to be in the room every day. I get to see how they are as kids and just adults, students. So it's kind of cool to see, like, they just work hard in everything they do, and doing the right things, and just fun to be around.
Yeah, a lot of fun to be around these days. Let me ask you just about a couple of the kids in particular, Zane, that obviously folks are Penn State fans haven't had a chance yet, at least many of them. There were a few that went up to West Point. But P.J. Duke and what you're kind of seeing, I mean, I think one of the things that maybe is underappreciated is the challenge of having ridiculously high expectations, as many of these guys do, and I'm really impressed with what we're seeing just in the way they go about their business, again, day in and day out with guys like Marcus Blaise and PJ Duke.
Yeah, I think like PJ, for example, he's just very very mature for his age, and I think all these guys that are coming in ready to go, not only talent-wise, but just like mentally and how they think, how they approach the sport. I know PJ had a very busy summer. You know, he wrestled in multiple world championships, different age groups, and he wanted to, and I think that was really cool. But I think he's excited now to change gears, and I guess the expectation thing. I'm not sure. You know, I felt that as a competitor, coming in, wrestling as a true freshman, and I think he's managing it very well. I think he's not thinking about expectations at all. It just seems like he's doing the right things in the room, focused on getting better, focusing on just giving his best effort. And, those are things that sometimes take longer, like seniors finally figure that out. You know, and it's like their last year, but he's figuring it out as a freshman, and that's really awesome. So,
well, you being 30 is making me feel old. Yeah, I can't believe that.
Okay, the phone line must be garbled. That can't be right.
I'll tell you what is really making me feel old, though, is that both Hayden and now Asher Cunningham are on this college roster, it's the same. I mean, my oldest nephew has graduated college. In my mind, Asher and Hayden and my nephews are like, they're still like elementary school.
Sure.
Yeah. It's like, I know they're not. I mean, I've seen them, but it's like, it's hard to get my mind around that, but man, watching Asher compete this past weekend, I'm like, this is just wild that he is now wrestling at Penn State. Used to having him around the program, but not used to just having a hard time. As and the years do fly by. Zane, how? Go ahead.
No, I was just we had a Friendsgiving on with the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club, Penn State Wrestling, on Monday, and like you said, we have a full NLWC basically daycare because of all the kids that are either coaches' kids or athletes' kids within the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club, and I just remember when I came to Penn State, all of the coaches' kids were that age running around at Friendsgivings, and now they're on the team, so it's pretty crazy how fast time goes.
It is. It's just wild. Going back to this event here on Saturday, Zane, how good are we feeling? Cicada's got this? You guys got this on Saturday? I mean, this is a chance to make history. There's only going to be one team that goes down as Super Duel One champions for all time.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool, the trophy's pretty neat. I saw a sneak peek of that at the first event. I think their Super Duel One's pretty awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I think think we have a great team. I think we have great energy. I didn't know what to expect, how we'd match up with these other teams. They had some pretty solid teams that we beat. But I think we do have a good chance. I think we just, if we focus on the things that we were focusing on, in the preliminary matches, just having fun with it, scoring points, it's gonna be a good result for us. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it should be a whole lot of fun. If you're able to go down Saturday, again, the wrestling will start at 4:30. But if you get a ticket for it, there's also a red carpet show that starts at 1:30. There is a what they're calling a superstar pro clinic, but an opportunity for youngsters to kind of get some tips here from some outstanding wrestlers. And leading that will be Peyton Hall and Reese Humphrey. That'll be at 2:00 on Saturday. And then, again, the pre-match festivities in the arena, which is the UPMC Cooper Fieldhouse at Duquesne, starts at 4:00. And then the wrestling, Super Duel 1, gets underway at 4:30 with our own Zane Rutherford representing the Cicadas as they go up against the Leopards.
All right, Zane, this is Scott. I have to ask this question, okay? We had Eric Bruegel on whenever that was, a while back.
Yeah,
he was talking about things, and I'm like, Cicadas. Zane, you want to explain where cicadas came from? You're not like the mighty cicadas, the biting cicadas, something. Why cicadas?
I'm not sure where they came up with the team names, but when I got drafted in this summer, I was kind of excited to be part of the Cicadas just because in PA anyway, we had a pretty big cicada, this summer was pretty big on the cicada hatchlings and stuff. I was driving on I-80 this summer and you could just hear them buzzing. And I know it's been a while. They come out of the ground like once every 17 years or something. So I don't know if it was that or what, but I think it's pretty cool.
But
you don't see that mascot every day.
But this we can guarantee you. The cicadas will bring the noise on Saturday.
There we go.
See?
Very
see
good.
How we do that?
That's very
that's,
good.
That's okay. A professional
wow.
Work here, yeah.
Nice. That's why you're paid the medium-sized bucks.
Yes, indeed. Go. That is a fact. Zane, we wish you and the team the best of luck and certainly wish you and your family just a very happy Thanksgiving. Hope you enjoy the day with your family tomorrow. And, again, we look forward to watching the big event, Super Duel 1, coming up here on Saturday at 4:30 with Claw Wrestling. Thanks, Zane, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is Zane Rutherford, and, yeah, Super Duel 1. I love it. I love the way they're going about this.
With UFC is up to like 400 or some ridiculous crazy
number. Yeah.
All right. Is that where this is going? Super Duel 1?
Hopefully.
Super Duel 2?
That would be the plan.
All right. Very
if Tom Houck and Eric Bruegel have their way, that's exactly where this is headed. Yeah, and I think, the momentum here is building for this thing. I think this will be fun here on Saturday. If you're looking for something to do and you have the opportunity and you have, especially if you have some youngsters that are wrestling fans or are into wrestling, this might be a pretty cool opportunity. A fairly short drive from here down to Duquesne. And, again, it gets underway at 4:30, so you could, not unreasonable to make the trip down and back in the same day here. Things should wrap up by 6:30 thereabouts on Saturday evening. So, look forward to it. Thanks again to Zane Rutherford for the time this morning as we get ready for Super Duel 1 with the Champions League of American Wrestling. We call it CLAW. And looking forward to it on Saturday. We will take a timeout here, and we have open phone time on the other side of this break. You are listening to Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
Join Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox as we kick off our week of giving on Friday, November 21st at the Belfond Giant Grocery Store on the Benner Pike. We will be collecting non-perishable food items and monetary donations that day for the Faith Center. Just another great way to help your neighbor. During November, The Fox will be asking you to stop in and sign up for our annual Remington 700 rifle giveaway from Jordan Firearms during our week of giving with Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Fox State College.
Well, I don't know. We have another hour left in the program. I don't know what to do. Might as well jump, I guess. It is Sports Radio, 98.7 The Fox. Let's talk here. Phone line is open at 814-954-7266.
Very nice. Uh-huh. Okay. All right, lots to talk till 10 o'clock and no show tomorrow. We will be back on Black Friday, with an open line program, so mark your schedules accordingly. Now, you fooled me. I thought Zane was coming into the studio.
Oh, no.
He was supposed to be on the phone.
All right.
I thought he was coming in, because I was going to surprise him with a picture.
Oh, boy.
All right. Now, maybe I've got something up on my friend here. Have you ever been to Benton? You ever been to Benton, Pennsylvania?
I have. It's been a good while, but yes.
All right. I wasn't sure because I can say maybe I've got one up on you because I've been to Benton. All right. Here, I'm showing you a picture.
Yeah.
All right. At the edge of Benton, there is a creek, and part of that is they have a cool sort of like a waterfall. And with my old job, I was up there about like three and a half years ago. I was making a stop at the high school there, and I was a little early, and I pulled in, and I see this waterfall. I'm like, hey, that's kind of cool. So they have a parking area there, so I pulled into the parking area. I don't know, I just got out of my car, and I took a picture of the waterfall. I was going to show this to Zane, like, hey, Zane, there we go.
There you go.
All right, Benton, so interesting stuff. Let's stick with sports here a little bit. All right, allegedly, today's the day Terry Smith gets an interview. All right, I've seen at least one story that claims there's an interview today. All right, then we will see what happens after that. on social media yesterday, and I guess confirmed, Messiah Mickens, who's a terrific running back from Harrisburg, originally committed to Penn State, pulled out of his commitment, and now he has officially changed his commitment to Virginia Tech. Now, apparently, he is the first former Penn State commitment to commit to Virginia Tech. Of course, that's James Franklin's new team.
Likely will not be the last.
How many? Because I think, again, the number I've seen is 17 guys have pulled out of their Penn State commitment. And the question is, how many will, now a bunch of them have said, well, I'm going to Georgia, I'm going to this school over here, or I've committed to this school over here. Remember, the so-called early signing period is next week, Wednesday to Friday, when these guys can get this out of the way now, you know, sign their name on the old dotted line and so on. And then you're in, all right? It's the early signing period. Then there's, is the traditional, see, I remember the old days. The signing period used to be the first week of February. Is that still there, the first week of February? That's not there anymore, all right? But there is a, I'm assuming if there's an early signing period, there's a late signing period. Do you know when it is? Sometime. It'd be in the new year or sometime.
Yes.
All right, somewhere along there. So it'll be curious to see, well, today's Wednesday, over the next week, you know, some of these, you know, guys and, you know, okay, I'm going to sign with so-and-so. All right. This is simply social media.
All right. It is February 4th.
First week of February. That's what I thought. Yep. So that used to be the signing period. Now it's like the late signing period. Yeah. All right, whatever. That's fine. Again, just going by social media, James Franklin, of course, is the new head coach, signed, sealed, blah, 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 and he's doing the rah-rah already. Now, if you're a regular listener, you know what Scott here thinks of rah-rah. I'm not a fan.
Huge fan.
Oh, no, I'm not. Not a huge fan.
I got confused.
So he's starting. Now, I'm not surprised. He's got a new job. He wants to get people down there all excited. So he goes right into the rah-rah. Okay, to our Virginia Tech friends, and actually I can claim to have several of those, enjoy the rah-rah, and there will be this great momentum, and people will be excited, and so on. But the complaint, if I use that word, about Franklin at Penn State is, yeah, great with rah-rah, but get on the field and get in those, you know, tough games. In this case, this would be in the ACC. And let's see what happens. All right.
Tough games in the ACC?
Okay.
What?
Okay. That might,
I'm screwing around,
that,
you ACC
that might,
fans.
That might say something
I'm
right there.
Screwing around.
Let's take a call, Mr. Wise Guys. Right.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Okie dokie. Hey, I want to start off by saying I wish you guys all a very happy Thanksgiving.
And right back at
thank you.
Thank you.
And I want to ask a question before I go on my little little talk thingy here.
Okay.
Who actually is making the final decision on the Penn State coach? Is it Pat Kraft? Is it the trustees? Is it the athletic director? I mean, who is actually saying this is who we're going to take? I understand Pat Kraft's the one who's, you know, I mean, he's one that's been out there, but who's telling him, hey, this is who we're going to hire?
Yeah, no, it is Pat Kraft. Now, the Board of Trustees, has to sign off on it and has to approve the salary is really the function there. So, in theory, and in theory only, the trustees could, hey, no, we're not paying, you know, whatever the agreement is to this guy. The fact is, Pat Kraft will make the decision. It will be rubber stamped by the Board of Trustees, and that will be your next head coach. So it is Pat Kraft. Now, whether Kraft, you know, we were discussing this a little bit yesterday. Who all he is, bouncing around the ideas or various but yeah, the short answer is that yeah, this is Pat Kraft's call, and what he decides is that's going to be your next head coach.
So he is the same person who was his. Okay. Now, my thing is, looking at back over from the Sandusky period to now, I mean, I don't know who's running the thing up there because I'm just a fan. I want that to be first feared, and he was hated. You know, and when the Sandusky thing came down, it didn't take Penn State long to tear down his statue and put him on the dirt up and rush everything through. That thing, they just wanted to rush it through. So then, and when I played sports and stuff and did a little bit of coaching, you know, softball and things, the older people, to my opinion, I thought that was very unjust for James Franklin, whether he's liked or not. Now there could be other things, issues with that. Commitments to that college and other colleges. To me, all you're doing is bringing that black cloud back over top of Penn State, you know, and losing your recruiting, any other big school. They're getting the top players. They're getting good players who want to come there. Now, do they want to come there because of the coach, or do they want to come there because of the program?
Yep.
The more people that want to throw money, that's where the kids are going to go. But they're also going to go to a good school, knowing that, you know, they're going to the NFL.
Yep.
You know, and getting to start the NFL, is that percentage drops way down. They're my thoughts. I mean, in closing, you guys said, go ask a kid, a senior, come Saturday. If you were, you know, yes, the team wasn't what they thought it was going to be this year, but they're proud to be this team, and they're looking forward to the next level. And there are some bright spots, you know, with Catron Allen and Singleton. There's bright spots there. There's always that sun that shines through those clouds. Just don't make this thing any more difficult. Give Mr. Smith the job and let him go on with it, you know. And added senators in there that he has to do this, and this. And if it doesn't work out for a year, then go get somebody. But give the man his just dues, because everybody wants to play for him. And Michael Robinson said it perfect. He's the man. Hire him. I'm out. Have a good time, guys.
Thank you. I appreciate the phone call. And, yeah, I will say and I was the one. I'll own up to it. I said it doesn't really matter how this season plays out, because I did not think Terry Smith was I know Pat Kraft said he was going to be considered. I did not see this thing playing out the way it has. And all credit to Terry Smith. I do think it does mean something clearly to the players, but I also think to the fans now that this thing gets back to 500, that they become bowl eligible. And then I think you're in some tricky territory. And we were talking about this a little bit yesterday as well, where if you bring in a new coach, and, you know, meaning not Terry Smith, you go outside and bring in somebody that is a head coach at another program now, they are presumably, very likely, going to bring a substantial number of players with them from that program. And again, we'll have no idea what this thing will look like next year. I don't know how many coaches on the current staff would be retained, whether kind of we have an entirely new staff next year. There's a lot of moving parts then, and it'll settle out fairly quickly. I mean, it'll be a 3 or 4 month process, but you're going to get a pretty good idea. All right, well, this is what the team is going to look like. You're not going to know what they're going to look like on the field, but in terms of, all right, well, this is the personnel. These are the guys that we think are going to be the starters at various positions and all of that. And there will be excitement around it, no matter who it is. And I think if you're a fan, you ought to be jumping behind whoever Pat Kraft hires. I don't think this should be from a fan base perspective. Well, if they don't hire Terry Smith, I'm out. Well, that seems silly to me. Pat Kraft understands the significance, the import, the gravity of this hire. It is critical that they get it right. And I'm using air quotes because different folks are going to define right differently. I am one of those not. I don't care whether this is the splash hire. I'm reading a lot in the, well, you gotta, Terry Smith isn't going to be a splash hire. Bob Chesney isn't a splash hire. I don't care. I don't care about a splash hire. I care about getting the guy that can take this program to the next level. If he doesn't impress you out of the gate, and he doesn't impress, national media, so what? If he builds a championship program, everybody, and vice versa. If you bring in that splash hire, oh man, can you believe they got Kalen DeBoer? And then Kalen DeBoer goes out and they're 6-6 next year. Well, that's gonna wear off really, really quickly. Oh, they got it wrong anyway. The splash part, I could care less about. I don't think that's at all what this should be about. Well, we've gotta get the big name. No, you don't. You gotta get the guy that you, Pat Kraft, think can truly take this program to greater heights than what we've seen over the last decade. And they were pretty high heights. They were in the Final Four last year.
Mount Everest.
They were winning 10 games on a regular basis. So we're talking about a guy that you think, in a 3 to 5 year period, can have Penn State at the very least, hello, knocking on the door of a national title. And, you know, more so, win a national championship. Well, that's a pretty tall order for anybody. And, yeah, I feel as good about Terry Smith being able to do that here at Penn State right now as I do anybody else out there. But that's just me. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Scott. Good
morning.
I think as opposed to some 17-year-old hotshot decommitting, I want to see how many sophomores and juniors do not leave and stay. That probably tells you as much about Terry Smith as you're going to learn.
I agree. I mean, I'm far more concerned about the transfer portal than I am about the, you know, early signing period. I really am. That's just me.
Yeah, I think that's more the telling factor. They've got more to compare, know what's going on in the room and so on and so forth. You know, I mean, these commitments, Jeff's very much aware of this through wrestling. You know, some of the guys that we thought were really good and maybe Kale knew were really good but didn't fit the program or whatever, everybody's upset and just, you know, why did this kid not come here and so on and so forth. But that's not the case with sophomores and juniors now, or even freshmen that played a little bit. I think that's going to be the sign of if they hang around, they're all in. And we've obviously got some real talent still on the team. So
yes.
That's what I'm looking forward to. And as regards to conversation at the table on tomorrow, I pretty much hearken back to my grandfather, who to this day, and I mean this sincerely, is still the best man I ever knew, and he's been dead since 1969. And I've met thousands and thousands of people since then, but he was still the best guy I ever knew. But you needed to know how the conversation was going to go. All you had to do was go look at the head of the table and look at the expression on my grandfather's face. You knew exactly what you could say and what you couldn't.
Yep.
And that was the end of that. There was no discussion.
The good old days, yes.
Yeah. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
All right,
you
thanks
too.
For
Happy
your call.
Thanksgiving.
Ah, the good old days. Yeah, I miss those too. Holy moly. All right, let's take a break right now because we have to. You know, I got some thoughts here just to throw out. It hasn't been done and it's too soon to do, but there's a story I want some intrepid reporter to cover or dig into. And I'll share that story idea, when we come back from the break. Nobody's done it yet because it's not time. But at some point, let's see if somebody takes this on. In the meantime, we got to take a break. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss action. That is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable. Eat that turkey all night long. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey lurkey do and turkey lurkey dap. I eat that turkey, then I take a nap.
Oh, that is one of the best parts of Thanksgiving, is taking the nap.
It's a special night.
That's a fact.
Jimmy Walker used to say dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Turkey with gravy and cranberry. Can't believe the Mets traded Gallo Strawberry. Turkey for you and turkey for me. Can't believe Tyson gave that girl BD.
Some things are timeless.
Ooh, Adam Sandler. Dark meat you just can't lose. I fell off my moped and I got a bruise. Turkey in the oven and the buns in the toaster. I'll never take down my Cheryl Tex poster.
Ah, Cheryl Tex.
Wrap the turkey up in aluminum foil. My brother likes to masturbate with baby oil.
Baby brothers, what are you going to do with them?
Turkey and sweet potato pie. Sammy Davis Jr. only had one eye.
It's the classics at this time of the year.
Turkey for the girls and turkey for the boys. My favorite kind of pants are corduroys. Gobble, gobble, boo, and gobble, gobble, giggle. I wish turkey only cost a nickel.
Oh, now we're talking.
I love turkey on Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, everybody.
If that doesn't get you in the mood for Turkey Day tomorrow, enjoy all of the football, enjoy all of the turkey. And, yeah, enjoy a little conversation with your family, for crying out loud.
Friendly conversation. Friendly.
Phone line is open, 814-954-7266.
I don't know. Talking the Penn State football opening might not be a good thing to talk about around the Thanksgiving table.
Damn, you never know.
It depends on the group. Now, if everybody agrees, Terry Smith, okay, whatever, that's fine. It's too soon, but I'm going to hope that some intrepid reporter, and they listen to the show, so I'm giving them a story idea right here. After the season is over, after whoever the new coach is announced, you know, blah, blah, all that stuff, some kind of, I don't know, in-depth story, and you'd have to go talk to people, players, maybe certain coaches and so on. On what happened in those 2 weeks after the loss to Oregon. Somebody dig into that, and there's a story there. What happened to this team in the 2 weeks after the overtime loss to Oregon, the whiteout, the whole nine yards? What happened in those 2 weeks? Because this is a super talented team that played terribly. Those 2 weeks.
I actually know the answer.
You know the answer?
Yes. They lost to UCLA 42-37, and they lost to Northwestern 22-21. That's what happened in the 2 weeks after.
Why?
UCLA and Northwestern both outscored Penn State in those games.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, any other questions this morning I can help people with? You can give us a call. I have the answers, 814-954-7266. Good morning, you're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, Jeff and Scott. This
Howdy.
Is Chuck.
Good
Chuck
morning, Chucko.
Gobble, gobble.
Are we going to see you on the table tomorrow? Okay, I hope not.
No, I like that Adam Sandler. He hails from Manchester, New Hampshire. That's where he's from.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Now you do. anyway, about talking about Trump during Thanksgiving, Jeff, you know, you could go into the freezer and get out one of those frozen fruitcakes I gave you, and you could beat the person. That's what, you know, if you're not a fan, which I know you're not a fan, you could just use that as a weapon.
Ooh, that's tough. Ouch.
Hey,
he's speechless. He's thinking about it right now.
It would be the first good use of a fruitcake anybody ever came up with.
you were talking about Jopa this week, and do you know what it said at his statue?
I used to. I can't remember. Go ahead.
Well, Abraham Lincoln is attributed to whatever you are, be a good one. Joe Paterno is a little bit more wordy than that. He said, they asked me what I'd like written about me when I'm gone from Penn State. I hope they write that I made Penn State a better place, not that I was just a good football coach. And I think those are just great inspirational saying for, you know, working hard, doing a good job, and making it better. The great ameliorator, Joe Paterno.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
He genuinely had that attitude. All you got to do is look at the Paterno Library. All right, he and Sue spent or donated how many million dollars? Millions of dollars to build that library because the Petit Library, compared to other Big Ten libraries, was not great. And so Sue and Joe stood up and said, we're going to do something about that. And they forked up millions of their own money to build the Paterno Library. Thankfully, the crazed Board of Trustees a dozen years ago didn't change the name of the library. Thank you very much. How many other football coaches can make that claim? that they gave, I don't know, $10 million, I can't remember how much it was, $10 million or something to build a library. I think that's a pretty short list. And so whoever this next person is going to be, can they fulfill that vision? That's a good question. Caller or Chucko, I don't know.
Well, you know, when you talk about who you're going to hire for a coach, if you think of the three coaches that we've had at Penn State, what did, say, Franklin give to the university other than being a coach? Nothing like Paterno, obviously had many years, but I think you're right on that it's what you've been talking about. It's just what's going to happen now, and it's just a different time. But how come they can't find out what they happened to that statue?
Oh, the statue? That's a good question.
Almost like they don't want to.
It's a great mystery. And the question is, did they preserve it? Did they, I mean, some people, I think they melted it down or something. I don't know. Somebody out there knows. Where is the statue? What happened to the statue? I have no idea.
Well, I hope it'll be on the History Channel in the coming years.
All right. Very good, Chucko. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you.
I mean, Penn State's got the All Sports Museum. I mean, that's the obvious place to resurrect that, wherever they put it. To resurrect the thing, put it in there. If you don't want to put out in front of the stadium, fine. Put it in the museum. That's the obvious place to put it. All right, here we go.
Let's head back to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Apologies for the callback, but I know for a fact that when it happened, I know who took the statue down. He was my neighbor. And I know it was warehoused. If they did something to it since then, I don't know. But at that juncture and several years thereafter, it was still intact.
Good.
Yeah, hopefully it's still intact. I mean, I haven't heard anything.
If that's true,
indicating
good.
Otherwise, but
all right.
I was privy to that information the day after it was taken down by my neighbor, and he said, I'm not saying any more.
Wow.
Understood.
All right.
Thank you for the call.
All right.
Again, phone line is open, 814-954-7266.
Again, some intrepid reporter, maybe, you know, in the new year when the dust settles and all that sort of stuff. Dig into those 2 weeks after the Oregon game, when Penn State was playing two teams that they were clearly better than. I mean, just night and day. And the why they flatlined, if you will, those 2 weeks. What happened? Now you look at this team, and it took a few weeks to kind of reverse things. You look at this team the last 2 weeks, they've been dominant. They've been a team playing with great confidence. It's the same guys. I mean, it's pretty much the same guys. All right, Drew Aller got hurt. All right, take him out. It's the same fellas. Why are they playing so well now, much more motivated than they did last month against two teams where they were a three-touchdown or more favorite? What the heck happened those 2 weeks? There's a story there. And then you fire James Franklin. I mean, it's part of a coach's responsibility is to get his team prepared, to get them fired up, to get them motivated, and that clearly did not happen those 2 weeks. Why not? All right. Is Penn State a top 10 team? Well, no, probably not. Are they a top 25 team? Yes, they are. Now, the record won't show it. Okay, forget that. I really do think this team, A, is going to be motivated on Saturday, and B, they're going to destroy Rutgers. I think they're going to destroy them, if anything, to send a message. Then we'll see what happens after that, okay? But some intrepid reporter, dig into that. What happened during those 2 weeks in October? Because something happened. That's just, they didn't, oops, 2 weeks in a row. Something was going on.
And you trepid reporters out there, don't look into it.
Okay.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hi. Not bad.
Go ahead.
couple of quick questions here for you. Well, first of all, you know, I think this team, obviously I think they have a good chance to win against Rutgers. So if they win that, if they become bowl eligible, when does the portal open, and will enough guys stay around to have a team, enough players to have a legitimate team to play in a bowl game? And then the second question is, how quickly do you think the dominoes fall here as soon as that game ends on Saturday, as far as this coaching search? And do you think Terry Smith has a really, truly legitimate chance, or do you think Kraft is going to say, no, we have to go for a bigger name guy nationally to come? And I'll just listen to you guys.
All right.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you.
For
appreciate the call.
Do I think he has a legitimate chance? Yes. And if anything, he's proven it definitely over the last 2 weeks. I mean, you could go back further than that. Yeah, they should have beaten Indiana. Should have beaten Iowa. Okay, should have. Now, they, you know, especially in the defense, they kind of let it get away. Now, you know, Indiana game, if the offense gets one more first down, that game is over. Well, okay, so a little shared blame, if you will, on that one. But still, you compare that team with the team that played UCLA and then Northwestern. I mean, it's like, what the heck happened those 2 weeks? So to me, Terry Smith has proven, yes, I can turn a team around. Yes, I've got the locker room on my side. There's no division. There's no, and he's got them. All right. There they are. We've been told for years, Terry's a really great recruiter. All right. James Franklin, great recruiter. Yes. Okay, great. Terry Smith, also great recruiter. So if recruiting is the issue and you're talking about the guy at the top of the ladder, I think Terry's more than proven himself in that regard. All right, Mr. Ironhead, what do you think on that?
So I think Terry Smith might, and again, we're all guessing. I think he's still a long shot. I think the preference of Pat Kraft would be to get somebody that is a proven head coach. And, you know, there's probably some merit to that. I think you'd be crazy to not really examine this if you're Pat Kraft. And, again, I think he needs to go with the best choice in his mind. And I think Terry Smith might be that best choice if you look at it from all of the different angles. I also will concede and Chris Buccinati's been talking about that this week, that we don't have all of the information, right? Like Pat Kraft has a ton more information on what these guys are answering, what the vision is for the various candidates for the program, how they see things aligning, how they would use the transfer portal, how they envision the NIL money, and again, that is a critical component. Make no mistake. The days of, man, we're just going to go because we love Penn State. No, that's not what's happening. Now, it'd be nice to get some guys that grew up and love Penn State, and hopefully you do get some of those. But, yeah, you've got to be in the game on the financial front here as well. And I think Penn State is, and maybe can be even more so moving forward. But make no mistake, that is part of the equation. The other part that we don't know, we're getting a lot of indications that there is going to be some shuffling of responsibilities and that there will be a general manager, like more of a true general manager, in place as part of the operation at Penn State. Well, who that individual is and the relationship with the coach and both of them with Pat Kraft, like all of this stuff has to be pulling in the same direction. You can't have a GM that, well, my vision is we do this and we build it just through recruiting. And the coach is like, yeah, we're going to do it mostly through the transfer portal. And the AD is like, I don't know. Like, you got to have everybody. Hey, we think we want to go about it this way. And there's various ways to go about it. And there's various ways to be successful, but you gotta know what the vision is and have everybody kind of on board with it. So all of that is a long way to say, Pat Kraft has to sift through everything. And
again, has a ton more information. We have the information with what we're seeing with Terry Smith, what we're seeing with this team, what we're seeing with other coaches. And, yeah, to me, Terry Smith is a pretty compelling choice here for a lot of different reasons. And I would be more than okay. I would advocate for Terry Smith. That being said, again, maybe Terry, when he's in the meetings, and I don't know either way, and none of us do, and this is my point. Maybe there's a couple of things that are coming up, and Pat Kraft's like, but that's an important element, and, you know, whatever it is, Terry Smith is falling short, and this guy over here had answers that I liked, and I think we can get this thing over the hump. So I am going to be comfortable out of the gate anyway with whoever Pat Kraft decides is the best candidate for Penn State football moving forward. And I keep saying, no matter who it is, it is a really tall order. Like, it is possible this thing doesn't work, whether it's Terry Smith, Bob Chesney, whoever you think is clearly the best candidate. There's a lot of things that need to come together for a football program to become a championship-winning program. And part of it is you got to get a little luck along the way. Man, you don't suffer a key injury in that first round of the playoffs. You don't suffer an unexpected departure midway through the season. There's just a lot of things that are out of your control that somewhere along the way you got to get a bounce in a game. You got to get a break or two to be a championship-winning team. And, you know, sometimes that stuff can snowball. But, yeah, I think Terry Smith, I think you're crazy if you're Pat Kraft and you're not seriously considering Terry Smith and listening to his answers. But I think that's the key is, hey, is his vision and how he would go about building this thing, do I see that working? And, again, working is, yeah, we're going to be a Final Four program on a fairly regular basis, we're going to be in the playoffs pretty consistently, and we can make a serious run at a national title here or there. Like that, I think that's, you have to believe that this guy, whoever it is, can do that. Do I, from the outside looking in, think Terry Smith could be that guy? Absolutely. I think he is going to pour his heart and soul into it. I think he has a lot more football savvy and acumen than a lot of people out there are giving him credit for. And I think having seen up close and personal what James Franklin has done and, you know, maybe where Penn State has come up short, Terry's been in the building and maybe, again, maybe he goes to Pat Kraft, and I don't know, and none of us do, but maybe he goes to Pat Kraft and says, you know, I think all we need to do is make this adjustment, and I think I can get these guys to not play as tight in those big games, and I think we can do it by doing this and implementing that. And I don't know. Maybe he's like, I don't really know why we keep coming up short, and that would be concerning, but we don't know. So I just think Pat Kraft is... He is the one that has all of the information. He understands this is, to a large degree, this hire, to a really large degree, this is going to define Pat Kraft's legacy here at Penn State. He knows that. He understands it. He wants to get this right. And so, again, it's going to be an educated guess, but there's a lot of information that's going to be sorted through here by Pat Kraft. And then, you know, I do think there's going to be a bit of a gut call here as well. You're going to take all of that information. And I think there's going to be a lot of very well-qualified, really good coaches. And it's like, I think this guy's going to be the guy. And to me, looking at it, not having all of the information, I'm like, I think Terry Smith might be the guy. I think he, all of his life experience may actually be leading up to this moment, and I think it would be cool just in the moment. I don't think this is why you make the hire, but I do think if Terry Smith is the guy and you make that announcement either right before or right after the Rutgers game, and if it's right after, right before you hopefully get a bowl bid here, you win that game, I think you're going to have that moment like Marcus Freeman had with Notre Dame in that Penn State locker room, and I think that can build something substantial for the future. And again, I don't think because, oh, that would be a really cool moment, therefore you got to hire Terry Smith. No, but it would still be cool. Take a break here. Be back to wrap up shop.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News & World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now, that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
Join Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Join Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox as we...
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
We hope you all have a very happy Thanksgiving tomorrow. Again, no show here with Let's Talk. We'll take the day off and enjoy it with family and enjoy all of the wonderful food and the football. We will have an NFL triple header for you starting at 12:30 tomorrow afternoon. Again, have a wonderful holiday. Stay tuned. We've got our normal programming today, and then we will be back for our Friday show, the day after Thanksgiving, right here with Let's Talk.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Fox Sports.